like the greatest, yeah. Hey, this is a song for my haters. Hey, hey, yeah, got me feeling like the greatest, yeah.
Ha, bitch, I'm about to blow up. Uh-huh. Say what? Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Hey, I came up, I warmed up, the next up. Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Now don't it sound...
Welcome back to another edition of the Hitman and King Sush podcast. This is your host, the Hitman, along with my trusty sidekick, King Sush. What's going on, King Sush?
Hey, what's up, David? It's good to be back on the podcast. It's been way too long. But we're feeling good. We're back at it again. So let's get things rolling. How you feeling today?
I'm good. My podcast juice has been flowing. We've been trying to get this going, but our schedules haven't worked out. You know, we're doing a couple different things. We're moving the town. So let's get going. Today we're going to talk about the NBA. Just in general, what our thoughts and our feelings are. But first off, let's talk about Linsanity. There's been a lot written, a lot talked about. He had 17 points and I think 9 assists today, as the Knicks blew out the terrible Atlanta Hawks. So straight off the bat, tough question: rank Jeremy Lin in the pantheon of point guards in the NBA.
Well, I know it's very early to pinpoint where he stands right now within the top point guards in the league. But after watching him play, you know what? He is a real deal. We can all agree with that. I would put him, you know, almost second-tier point guards in the league. You know, obviously, he falls behind Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook, guys like that, top-tier guys that we're all accustomed to seeing out there balling. But Lin, I think it's only a seven-eight start in the league. So, and I like what I'm seeing from this guy. So I have to put him up there. High on the list, very high on the list. I don't know where I would rank him as of yet, but I'd like to see more out of him. But you know, he's already up there on my list. From the second game, I knew he was a real deal. What do you feel about him?
Yeah, man, we had started this conversation at Fuddruckers, by the way. Fuddruckers, best sandwich spot in history of the world. Burgers, very yes. Juicy. I'm a big fan of juicy burgers. But anyways, we just started playing a name game real quick, you know. And I said, Jeremy Lin or Steph Curry? And King Su said, Jeremy Lin. Said, Jeremy Lin or Kyle Lowry? Ooh, Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin or Brandon Jennings? Jeremy Lin. And it got to the point where it was Jeremy Lin or Tony Parker. And that's where I had to cut it off. I'd take all those guys ahead of him. Plain and simply because he's not a proven commodity, and but he's good. I mean, he's the missing piece to the Knicks being in that third seed in the East. But I don't know if this thing can be built upon. I don't know if he's going to get better, or is if this is what Jeremy Lin's going to be for his career. Because, you know, I heard a scout say, you know, there's always a player who's turnover prone, or if he would do this, he'd be a great player. But guess what? I mean, sometimes you are who you are, and those things just don't get better. But you know what? Tomorrow, Linsanity versus the Heatles, it's going to be off the hook, and I can't wait. What about you?
Oh, I can't wait either. This game is going to be an exciting game. Carmelo's back after a couple of games. He played today and the game before. Him and Lin hooking up. Let's see if they can build something here to see if Lin can work with a guy like Melo. Because we know the Heat are going to bring their A game like they always do. Tough defensive team. It's going to be a good game. I was telling the guys in our daily text message, we go about 500 text messages a day. That I'm excited for this game. It's gonna be very exciting. We're gonna see what Lin could do on a big stage again. But you know, it's gonna be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely gonna be a good game heading into All-Star Weekend. You know, I'm looking forward to that rookie sophomore game. on, I think it's either Friday or Saturday. I'm not really looking for this towards the slam dunk contest. You know, All-Star Week in general, kind of in the NBA and most professional leagues, is not that fun. I kind of stopped watching it. It's more for the kids. So when your baby grows up, he'll start loving it. But I think it's a much-needed break coming off the 66-game back-to-back-to-back schedule. It's like 66 games in 123 nights. I heard Kevin Durant say that he loves playing competitive basketball every other day. But for a lot of people, it's causing a lot of injuries. I know from a fantasy perspective, I've lost Vergeau, I've lost Splitter, and I've lost a couple other people. And I don't think I would have lost them if it was a normal NBA season. What are your thoughts on the compressed schedule? And actually, more to the point, who do you think it helps, the schedule?
Obviously, the schedule helps the younger teams in the league. Obviously, we can see that the older teams are kind of struggling right now. Teams like the Boston Celtics, you know, they're borderline 500 team right now. And also, on the other hand, the teams like the Thunder, very young team, very talented team, they're playing awesome, playing great, good team basketball. And also teams like, also the other younger teams as well across the league, they're, you know, they're playing well. Even like the Heat, they're still young. LeBron's in his prime. They're playing fairly well. Just the younger teams are playing well. I mean, it's still early in the season, but obviously this compressed schedule definitely helps the younger team in the league. But towards the end, we know who the teams will be coming out. So I'm not too worried about compressed schedule. Teams will show the real colors towards the end. But right now, it's definitely helping the younger teams. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know if it's helping younger teams or older teams. I just think the schedule and the good teams are the good teams. I mean, Washington is young and they suck. Boston's old and they suck. But, you know, Miami has a bunch of veterans. Oklahoma City is young. Dallas is coming into it. San Antonio Spurs are old and they're good. So I think it's more of a function of health and how good you are versus whether you're young or old. But in the end, if it's not Chicago versus Miami, I'm going to be on the Eastern Conference side. If it's not Chicago versus Miami, I'm going to be a little disappointed. On the West side, you know, it's a toss-up. It could be Oklahoma City. It could be the Lakers. It could be Dallas. I wouldn't be surprised if San Antonio Spurs made a run for one last time if Ginobili can get healthy and get hot. But in the East, I'm looking towards Chicago, and I'm looking towards Miami, and I'm going to call it right now. The Chicago Bulls are going to beat the Miami Heat in 6 games and get to the NBA Finals.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, who's going to win the championship then?
Believe it or not, I think the Mavericks are going to win the championship.
Mavericks again?
I think they're going to repeat. I mean, I know they're dumping salary, but they can get hot, and their good is just about as good enough as all the other teams in the West. So I think if Dirk can get back to what he was last year and the pieces around him, but I hate Vince Carter. But that's another topic. But you know they got a couple pieces. If Jason Kidd can get a shooting form back, Brandon Wright is looking okay. But you know, Brendan Haywood is such a downgrade at center from Tyson Chandler that, man, I don't know. I'm having second thoughts, but I think it's going to be the Bulls versus the Mavericks.
That's very interesting.
And what do you
see,
think?
That's very interesting. I'm going to stick to my last year's pick. Towards the end of our last podcast, I believe I picked the Oklahoma City Thunder to win this year. So I'm going to stick with those guys to win it. I think Russell Westbrook, he's still the same guy from last year. I think he has more confidence in himself. But I think with Kevin Durant, like I was saying, with Kevin Durant with the year under his belt and guys like Serge Ibaka and the other players that they do have, I think they're deep to make a run. And I think it's their time to win it all. Kevin Durant has shown that he can play at this high level. So I'm going to go with the Thunder again to win this year. But out of the East, as much as I don't like the Heat, I'm going to go ahead and pick them out of the East. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, we can hate LeBron as much as we can, but I mean, he's the best player in the league. Well, I don't know what else I can say about the guy. I personally don't like him, but who cares? He's a good player. So I think those two teams are coming out of the East and the West with the Thunder winning it all. So that's my pick on that.
Yeah, honestly, I think LeBron James is the Wilt Chamberlain of our era. He's never going to get his just dues. He's not going to be considered one of the all-time greats. I think in 10 years, Kobe Bryant's going to be more highly regarded than LeBron. And it's plain and simply because he's just, I don't know, there's just something about him that Kobe Bryant is a jerk. He's always been a jerk, and he hasn't changed. LeBron James has gone from the good guy to the bad guy who didn't want to be the bad guy. Now everybody is going to blame everything on LeBron. So his personality is just fluctuates to the point where I just think that his place in history is already marked no matter how many championships he wins. I don't think he's going to be considered one of the all-time greats. He's been an all-time great talent, but it's going to go down in history. You know, with Joe, I hate to segue, but, you know, Joe Paterno's second paragraph is going to be about, you know, the 2011 situation with Sandusky. And LeBron's tombstone is going to read, he left Cleveland to go team up with two of the better players in the NBA because he felt like he couldn't do it himself. So I don't really care if LeBron wins. I'm at this point now that if LeBron wins, that's great. He should have won a while ago. But I think the Bulls are good. I had a chance to watch the Bulls against the Clippers opening night in LA, and Derrick Rose is unbelievable. It's actually funny. I've watched a lot of games live this year. I had a chance to see LeBron. I had a chance to see Kevin Durant. I had a chance to see Derrick Rose. And I came off more impressed with Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook than I did with Kevin Durant or LeBron. And it might be a function of they're small and they're fast and they're, what they do is a lot more exciting. But I have a feeling that if Russell Westbrook had his own team like Derrick Rose did, they wouldn't be too bad. So let's transition away from talking about the overall landscape and talking about Linsanity. Let's bring it closer to home. You know, we live in the San Francisco Bay Area, just in case any of our groupies want to come say hi to us. So let's talk about the Warriors. I hear that I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was watching the Mavericks Lakers game, but I hear that Steph Curry re-injured his ankle today.
He did.
Yeah, that's not good. You know, this is probably the third or fourth time in this season that he's hurt his ankle. It's a little sad, but hopefully his ankle isn't made out of porcelain. But let's get to the real story. Let's get to Monte Ellis. Every year it's let's trade Monte, but the Warriors are just one good big man and one good small forward away from being in the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. What are your thoughts on that, man?
I also agree with that. I think I'm a big Monte supporter. I think he's a good player. I think the Warriors would need to trade Steph Curry, but with his ankle injuries, his trade value is obviously decreasing. But I think if they trade Steph Curry for a decent point guard, a legit point guard, out of big men who can rebound a little bit, this team could be pretty good. I think Monte and David Lee are a good combination together. I think they are missing that third piece. We had this conversation, like you were saying earlier, about Fuddruckers, and you did mention that, you know, they are a third piece away from being a good team. Maybe not a contender yet, but actually a solid team. So I think, you know, trade Steph, get a good point guard in. With Monte, I think...
But here's the thing, I mean, how are you going to trade Steph? I mean, these guys, the Warriors, made a strategic decision not to trade Steph for Chris Paul. They didn't want to trade Steph for, last year, I think it was Pau Gasol, wasn't it? They don't want to trade Steph. I mean, they probably wouldn't trade Steph or Dwight Howard straight up. So now the Warriors have put them into position where strategically they're screwed. First, you don't amnesty Biedrins. Why? I mean, what does Biedrins give you that Jermaine Taylor or whoever the guy, I mean, the backup centers give you? I mean, he's long, he's tall, and he's active. Give me a break here, man. I mean, yeah. I can get out there and shoot 5 free throws. I can get fouled more than Biedrins. It's just sad because everybody used to talk about how Biedrins was a top 10 center, and I never believed it. Now, I mean, it's just brutally clear that he is a terrible player, and the only reason the Warriors play him is because he's being paid $60 million. David Lee's kind of, you know, he's all right. I don't have any complaints about David Lee. Jarrell Wright, Brandon Rush combination at the small forward. I'm just saying if they get somebody there, I don't know who, maybe I'm trying to think if there's any small forwards available, but if they do get somebody, if they draft like a Michael K. Gilchrist or something, I think the Warriors have a chance. On the other side of the Bay Area, some people call this the Sacramento region, which it is. The Sacramento Kings are once again probably fighting to get out of last place. They have Tyreek Evans, they have Isaiah Thomas, they have Jimmer Fredette, they have Marcus Orton, and then they have the crazy-ass DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah, it's just a lost cause. Hopefully you get a stadium. I don't have much to say about the Kings. It's a sad state of affairs in Sacramento, but and I don't see it looking up. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the Kings, I mean, yeah, I know why they drafted Jimmer Fredette. He's a good player. He's going to sell some tickets. Kings are looking for a new arena. So strategically, it was a good move just for marketing revenue purposes. But, I mean, as for basketball-wise, having Tyreek Evans, having, you know, if he's going to be one of your future players going forward, you know, a guy like Jimmer is probably not a good spot to pick him in. But, you know, I understand why they did that. So, but the Kings, there's not much to say about them. There's no excitement coming from the Kings. They're losing a lot of games. At least for the Warriors, like we mentioned, they're a fun team to watch. But we're to a point with the Warriors where we expect more because they are fun. They are competitive. They are in a lot of games. But you know, on the other side, back to the Kings. I mean, there's not much I can say about these guys. I don't think they're any good. So let's move on from the Kings.
Yeah. So who's your biggest disappointment of the season so far? Halfway through the season.
As a disappointment, I think my disappointment is Dwight Howard.
Really?
I think Dwight Howard's disappointment. I think the way he's handled the media, it's terrible. He's acting like LeBron. He kind of did last year, but he's still playing hard. But he, you know, just the way he's acting towards the media, the way his trade situation is going back and forth. I don't like what he's doing with that. But if he wants to go somewhere, there's a way to go back to business. I think Chris Paul handled it fairly well. He wanted out of New Orleans. You know, he got exactly where he wanted to go, and his reputation was still, you know, protected. Guys need to look at that as well. But Dwight Howard, a disappointment, just the way he's acting. So, how about yourself? What do you think?
My biggest disappointment is the NBA in general. David Stern specifically. I just think my disdain for referees and my disdain for the league office, it just, I don't know, something about basketball keeps me coming back and keeps me wanting to watch. But what David Stern did to New Orleans and what he did to Houston and what he did to the Lakers, although, you know, the teams are good and record-wise, they're not hurting, what they did by, what David Stern essentially did by just acquiescing to what's his name, Cleveland owner, I'm forgetting his name.
Dan Gilbert.
By vetoing the Chris Paul trade, he kind of usurped any authority that Dell Demps had, for sure. And then he took all the hard work that Kupchak and Daryl Morey and the Rockets did, and it just threw it out the window. And then what? Chris Paul still goes to LA, but he plays for the Clippers. And who do they get back? Chris Kaman, who's playing well now because he wants to get traded. Eric Gordon, who's been hurt his whole career, and a draft pick. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous to think that Chris Paul could be a Laker, Lamar Odom, and Kevin Martin, and Goran Dragic could be a New Orleans Hornet, and Paul Gasol be on the Houston Rockets after what Shannon Brown did to his girlfriend. I just think that the NBA in general kind of blew it, and you know what? We're right. I mean, because David Stern hasn't come out and said anything to the contrary. And I just think it's a little sad that Dan Gilbert, a guy who made his money on toxic mortgages, that's what Quicken Loans basically does, gets to have his say on the league, and it's awful. But to bring the cheerfulness up, my biggest surprise, obviously, let's not count Linsanity because we kind of touched on that. But my biggest surprise is that actually Tony Parker, after all his trade rumors, is like a legit top five MVP candidate. I mean, right now the Spurs are sitting in second place. I don't have a stats right in front of me, but the man is good. After the rumors of him kind of, you know, having relations with Brent Berry's wife, whether or not that's true, I don't know. My sources are telling me, and my sources are conflicting on that one. But Tony Parker has been a revelation, and Tim Duncan is steady Eddie, but I don't think the Spurs are going to make it out of the first round, to be honest with you. What do you think?
Yeah, so my biggest surprise this year is how the Los Angeles Lakers have been playing, and their you know how they've rebounded from last year's, I would say, successful season, but it's a surprise that they've fallen this far, and I won't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs this year.
The Lakers, they're in fourth place, I think.
I think they can fall out. I think they can fall out of the playoff race. I don't know. I'm not. If you have guys like Troy Murphy playing, I know you got Kobe. I know you got Paul Gasol. But I'm just not impressed with this roster. But I know they're in fourth place right now, like you mentioned. But I don't know what this. I expect something out of the Lakers, and this is not really it. But as for biggest surprise, like I said, I haven't seen anything from the contrary. But obviously, the Lakers are my biggest surprise.
And for our Midwest and East Coast fans, we do know about Philadelphia, and we do know about Indiana, but let's be real here. If you're not talking Indiana, I mean, if you're not talking Chicago, and if you're not talking Miami, then what are you really talking about in the East? So we apologize to Philadelphia and Indiana Pacers fans, but unless you shock the world and do us a favor and knock the Heat off, you're not a surprise. You may be winning, but sometimes regular season doesn't translate into the playoffs really well, and Philadelphia is slowly finding that out as they've become a team with more of a target on their back, and they've lost five in a row as a result of that. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about fantasy basketball. I know that fantasy basketball isn't as sexy as fantasy football, but I want to talk about it because I am dominating the league that we're in. And it makes me feel so good to dominate a league that King Sush is in, that my brother Big Dan is in, where Callie Crooks, Edson, shout out to Edson, Baby Eddie, see you in Vegas in a couple weeks. Where so-called basketball gurus are located, and I am not only in first place, but I am in first place by such a wide margin that I could bench all my players for the next 2 weeks and still be in first place. If that's not domination, then I don't know what is. King Sush is slowly inching his way out of 12th place. I believe he's in 9th place or 10th place right now.
I'm actually in 11th place, and I want everyone to see how David can kiss his own ass. He's in first place, and I think we all know that. But yeah, he has a history of kissing his own ass. I just want to get that out of the way. But yeah, I'm in 11th place. As you guys all know, I had a kid a couple months ago, so I don't want to blame the little guy, but I've been struggling in the league. But over the last 2 weeks, I think I'm
sorry. Let's stop for a second. You got an iPhone in your hand. You text message nonstop. Every other conversation you're involved in. But you're telling me you can't get an app to set your lineup?
I can. I've never. You know, I don't know. I've no response to that. But all I can tell you is over the last 2 weeks, I've been serious, and I'm gonna continue to be serious. I got some trade things in the works, so hopefully I can make a push and over the next couple of weeks make some ground up. I know I started off really, really bad, but yeah, I'm excited for this league too, so I think it's going to be fun. Good finish down the stretch, but I was going to show everyone how Dave can kiss his own ass. Back to that. But yeah.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm getting a little concerned because I lost Varejao, which kind of Varejao is a really skilled rebounder and basketball player in general, and to lose him is a big blow. Hopefully he can come back and I can snatch him up before he comes back, but it's tough to keep him on the roster when the league is so competitive. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. Kevin Durant has probably been 1A, if not the best fantasy basketball player. LeBron usually takes that mantle, but Kevin Durant is scoring and rebounding at a pretty high rate, and he shoots three-pointers better than LeBron. So, you know, I have the luxury of having one of the best players in fantasy and one of the best players in the world. Speaking of Kevin Durant, I had a chance to go to the Thunder-Warrior game and sit basically five rows back. And it was an awesome time, and Kevin Durant is taller than everybody on his team, but he's a small forward. Russell Westbrook, when he turns on the Jets, I mean, he just goes. And Monte Ellis scoring 48 points. The Warriors always talk about, you know, it's a great timeout, and Oracle is rocking. The last couple times I went to the Heat game where he almost caught me saying we, but Oracle was rocking when the Warriors beat the Heat, and it was rocking again, but unfortunately they took the loss to the Thunder. All right, King Sush, any last words before we sign off on our first podcast of 2012 and hopefully many more to come? We'd like to send out our deepest apologies for not podcasting more. I know our fans have been clamoring for it, but we just, you know, we can make all the excuses in the world, but we haven't lived up to our end of the bargain. Anything new going on? You been to any weddings recently? Any family drama you want to discuss?
I did go to a wedding a few days ago. My cousin got married. It was a great event. As for drama, there's always some drama. We seen some drama just yesterday, but I don't want to get into that, but the wedding was fun, we all had a good time, but yeah, as for the drama, let's keep that out of this podcast.
Text messages. But as we part on our first podcast, let's give out one wise word of advice. Don't air out your dirty laundry on Facebook. It doesn't help, ever. Facebook, you should use Facebook to just show your happy times, because if you start talking about your sadness and your pity and your sorrow on Facebook, people are going to talk shit, kind of like we're doing on the podcast. And with that, we're done. I'm Kitman signing off. King Sush, talk to you later.
Thanks, David. It was fun being back on the podcast. We hope to continue this great streak that we had from last season. I know we've slipped this season, but we plan on being more consistent, bringing you guys up-to-date information, excitement to your lives. And once again, we'll be back. You guys, we're signing off. Good night. One love. Peace.
Yeah, and just to give you guys a quick schedule update, if there's any breaking news, something we can talk about for longer than 30 minutes, we'll pull it out of podcast, but we'll be coming back with some NBA news and notes if anybody gets traded, and then especially when playoff time comes, we'll break down all the matchups. But that's for a little later time horizon, so sometime in May. So if you don't hear from us, we love you, and peace.